If we win, I'm reading the paper in the cafe. If we lose, I'm in a dark room for probably 12 hours.
Just seeing pictures of myself places I hadn't seen them before, that at times made me a bit edgy.
We don't want to be known for a group that just loses, so we're not accepting losing.
I giggle at some of these comments from the experts, and they don't really know what's going on.
I think people can really see the way that we want to play because we think that it works and stacks up.
It's great fun. When you're winning, not when you miss goals after the siren. That's
your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Absolutely. Welcome aboard to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum. Thanks to Prosper. Get approval on your business loan in hours, not days. Go to prosper.com. That's PROSPA.com. And it is a welcome to Isaac Smith this morning. Good morning, Isaac.
Morning, half.
Big weekend for the Hawthorn Football Club.
Yeah, it was a ripper weekend. Shawnee Burger wins 350th and then the 78, 88, 08.
2018.
And then hopefully 2018 premiership in 10 years' time. But we celebrated that at the Grand Hyatt on Sunday and had a pretty dodgy MC. But other than that, it was a ripper day.
Who did they get as MC? A former player?
They got Daniel Harford, because they were cutting costs.
Not important who it was. A very ugly man, did an ordinary job. But we had a great afternoon. And I was going to ask you, because I saw you there sitting in the crowd, and you've got a few of these to look forward to through your time in footy down the track. Do you start to think about those things down the track when you see the guys and the way they come back together?
Yeah, sitting there, it was pretty awesome listening to all the old stories and to know that everyone in the 78 premiership is still alive as well. They're all catching up and they had a great weekend. I think Saturday, the 78, 88 and 08 boys all ripped in and had a bit of fun together. But
they did.
Really looking forward to him in a few years' time. I just hope I don't rock up looking like Xavier Ellis.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
He asked that question.
Well, I think someone's eaten Tocca.
As in, what? Has he lost a lot of weight?
Hasn't lost it, mate. He has not been playing professional sport for about 18 months, and the reversibility effect has kicked in.
Oh, okay.
He's had a good time.
I prefer that.
And I can say this because Tocca's one of my mates.
Yeah, but I'd rather. So he trained hard. It wasn't against his natural instinct. And now he's just living life to the fullest.
He's having a good time.
I don't like the ones that are slightly overweight and then get fit after that.
Yeah, no, that's no good to us. No,
you would have liked Tocca's outfit as well.
Oh, I wanted to go for it.
Pulled off a little bit of Richie Beno.
He
had the beige jacket.
The ivory of the beige. It was unusual. It stood out, certainly stood out.
Well, he stands out with his tweets too, doesn't he?
He's very good. He's a funny man. He's very witty. Yeah,
Melbourne Grammar boy.
Yeah, Melbourne Grammar boy out of Lakes Entrance. He's over in Perth doing some of his best work on morning radio now.
Oh, he's actually too, right. gone into the media. Oh, yeah. He's a threat.
He's a threat.
We don't want to hear that, huh? Get yourself into the media.
Optus want him.
Optus want him. Yeah,
it's affected your World Cup watching experience, has it?
Mate, I haven't been able to watch anything. I'm even not this paying customer.
So how have you gone through watching, and where's it been? Did you start on the app or just stream it off the website? What's happened?
Well, I'm a big SBS fan, so I'm just trying to watch it on SBS. That's about all I can get at the moment.
Well, I don't think you're on your Pat Malone. Not your Mick Malone.
It's all we've got at the moment.
But how good's tomorrow night going to be?
Outstanding.
Yes.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
I didn't get to watch the one on Saturday night. Second time in 4 years.
That was exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah, looking forward to all that from the World Cup perspective. Looking forward to seeing the Hawks dominate too, just by the way, for the rest of the season. Good part of the draw opening up. So how important was that win on Saturday night against Adelaide?
Oh, it was huge for us. We're sitting 6-5, so if we went 6-6, I think we're 6-5, aren't we? Or that's 7-6. How many have we played? 11. 6-5, yeah.
Okay, we can edit all that out.
Well, 6-5.
Yeah, 6-5,
you're right. So to go 6-6 is massive in the context of your season. To get ahead of that ledger even again was a huge result. And I think the way we played was pleasing as well. We dominated the first quarter. We just couldn't kick a score.
Yeah.
And then dominated the third quarter. So it was really nice to be able to get a decent win.
My understanding is there was some feedback for the playing group from the coach at half time. About perhaps what had happened through the second quarter. Is that right?
Not really.
Not really?
Unless I don't listen at half time. But I don't think there was any much. There wasn't much more feedback than what we usually get, I don't think.
Righto. I had heard that perhaps across the weekend. Maybe I was wrong. But the third quarter, you rightly say, you come out and go, Wooshka.
Yeah.
And it all came together. And they didn't have... Did you say the other day, Whitey, they didn't have a clearance, Adelaide, the third quarter?
Not one clearance in the third quarter. Nope. Not one score in the third quarter.
Really?
No.
And the, I didn't know that.
The Hawks have been, do you reckon we've been a very good three-quarter team this year?
Third quarter.
The Essendon game was very average, and then we wiped them in the third quarter. Is that a trend? We're asking a lot of questions, and you've got no answers.
I'm sure. I'll just go out and play.
You do play for Hawthorn, don't you?
He's still playing, isn't
he? Vice captain.
I think we've been a better second-half team this year than we have been first half. I know our first quarters have shot us in the foot.
So I'm half right then.
Yeah.
Just by picking one quarter.
Yeah.
Who's kicking the ball further for goal, you or James Sicily? Who kicks the ball further?
I reckon probably Sis has got a couple of metres on me. He's probably got 5 metres on me. I reckon Sis on a good day can let him go about 70.
Off two steps.
Yeah.
That's the amazing thing, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
We know about James Sicily. What a player.
Oh, he's Adam's favourite player.
What a man.
What a man. What a man. He is. It's been an interesting year. We've spoken about James a lot through this season because of perhaps the headlines that have followed him around. But the way he seems to have progressed through the year from a maturity perspective is actually quite impressive.
Yeah, no, he's certainly grown a fair bit. I think early on in the season, he lost the plot a couple of times. But I think Sis is, obviously, we've talked about, got a bit of white line fever. And, to see his growth has been huge. And to see him playing consistent footy, I think probably the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's probably been the best player in the competition. So he's playing some pretty awesome footy at the moment.
Certainly is. And pretty important because he's a goal kicker too. He's a defending goal kicker, which...
Yeah, well, Harry Morrison had a shot from 35 metres out. He pulls back to 55 and gives the handball to Sis. Said, mate, wingers don't do that. Go back and kick your goal.
You fed him back one from 45. You're in the play, obviously, but you fed him back one just outside 50, two-step, just bang.
Yeah, two steps, whack. He's got a nice slipper on him.
I think they got the super coach right. He is a defender and a forward, Sicily. What about Silk? 350 games, very popular teammate. Can you give us a little bit of insight that we don't know about the great man?
You wouldn't be able to get him on RSN because he would be telling a story and you'd still be trying to go to a break.
Oh.
And then it'd be time to get cut off and he'd still be telling
no
a story.
No punchline.
No, no. Shawnee likes to repeat stories. Talking about great
teammates. He's getting older.
Talking about great teammates. He is one of the all-time great teammates. And I think he'll go down as one of the all-time players. I think what's a little bit unfair on his career is that he's only got one or two All-Australians and I don't think he's won a best,
no,
and
best
fairest
first.
And doesn't have a Norm Smith. But I reckon if you lined the best big game players up in the history of the game, I reckon he'd probably nearly take the cake.
Where would be his best position, you reckon?
That's a good question.
If you were picking, if you picked the best players that you played with, where would you put him?
Straight in the guts, I reckon. When every time he goes in there, he doesn't seem to lose a clearance, really.
Well, I think that's one of his greatest strengths. And you talk about perhaps not winning best and fairest. Because he's so versatile, so good in so many areas, he's a Mr. Fixer. You put him where you need him.
Yeah. So he probably doesn't get the opportunity just to rack the huge numbers. The one thing that probably hurts him in the midfield is he probably can't run in there all day now. The body's getting a little bit older, but he's still as powerful and explosive as he's ever been. And you just never see him lose one-on-ones. It's a bit like Cyril. Mm. You never see him lose a one-on-one either.
You've played with Sean now for quite some time. Are you surprised that he's still able to play at the level he's playing at?
Yeah, I thought he was done when I first came in, Whitey, to tell you the truth. When I walked in...
his knee was really in trouble, wasn't it?
Well, the pre-season we just did, I'm pretty sure, is the most percentage of pre-season he's ever done in his career at Hawthorn. So... that's after 9 years or 10 years at Hawthorn that he's actually doing a bit of a pre-season. But when I first rocked up, he would have been doing 50% of the pre-season max. Mm. All he did was walk laps and bounce a footy. Mm. And then he'd come out and dominate games. I'm like, well, if he's doing that, why aren't we all on that program? Then Tommy Mitchell comes down from Sydney and goes on the same program and starts dominating. I'm thinking, I'm doing it the wrong way.
Do you think he can go around again next year? Because I think everyone felt last year was going to be his last year. He'd written his book.
Yeah.
His autobiography. he's played this year and he's playing as well, if not better, than he played last year. Could he keep going? Could he get to 400 from what you've seen?
Oh, I think physically he could. I think mentally he's always there. He's just so competitive and he lives and breathes footy and all he wants to do is play footy. So in my theory, usually... The physical side of your body doesn't go until your mind starts to weaken. When your mind starts to weaken, then you probably physically fall off. You know, you've had enough of footy, then you're sort of probably taking a bit of shortcuts here, shortcuts there. But with Shawnee, he's just so mentally switched into footy that If he keeps going, you know, he probably can go for 2 or 3 years.
The amazing thing about Sean, you talked about what his best position is, and, you know, his clearance work is amazing. He's played a lot of footy down back for Hawthorn in the last sort of 2 or 3 years. At Port Adelaide, he started as a small forward. So in 2 years, in his second year of football, he kicked 39 goals. So through his first 2 years of playing, where he played 42 matches, this is back in 2002 and 2003.
A long time ago.
He kicked 63 goals in his first 2 years. And then had another year where he kicked 39 goals in 2007. So he is the ultimate player because he can play the three phases of the game, forward, back and in the midfield.
Gee, 40 goals as a small forward would nearly get you all Australian. Yeah,
absolutely.
I remember doing a little bit of boundary riding, and when he was flying, 06, 07, he was an unbelievable clearance player.
Mm, him
unbelievable.
And Brendan Lade,
yeah, that combination was...
And his speed out of there.
Yeah, well,
amazing.
Lade would put him on a platter, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, they had a great combination. It was fantastic to watch.
Well, because we sort of saw that on Saturday night with the Seglers tap to Burgoyne for the goal. I mean, he had a couple of moments where he could have really sort of done something special and he just missed the goal, but he still at least got that goal at the end, which sort of exemplified what he's been able to do.
Yeah, I was pretty shattered as well. I just went to the bench about 10 seconds before it. There's been 3 or 4 goals in my career that I really wanted to celebrate. That was one of them, and I was on the bench. And it tends to be I'm on the bench every time I want to celebrate.
Well, the other ones?
Stones Grimley.
Yes.
So, big Grimmers. He was sort of the heartbeat of the club for a bit there. And
right, big character, was he?
Yeah, big character.
Has he played the one game?
He played three, I think. Maybe, yeah. And he finally got a game after about 6 or 7 years, and he kicked the first goal.
But that was at the MCG, wasn't it? He carried on when he kicked the goal.
Yeah, and I literally went to the bench 5 seconds before he kicked the goal, and I thought, oh, gosh, I really want to celebrate that one. There's been a couple of others, but... yeah, they're the moments you love in footy, especially 350th, him kicking a goal, getting a good win, all his family's over, friends. It was actually a brilliant weekend.
It was a great weekend for the Hawks. 18 past 7, Isaac Smith, the vice-captain of the Hawks, is with us on the Prosper Inner Sanctum. And Flem, I've done a bit of research for you, just as you were talking. Third quarters this year, the Hawks?
Yep.
8-4.
Yes.
Second best record in footy.
Yes.
He's backing
up my statement.
There's a few on 9-3, but the second best record is 8-4.
Yes.
The Hawks have that. The Bombers, just having a look at this, 1-11.
That's a 7.
Not so good.
That's a
not
bad so number for them. I suggest if you've got the Bombers coming up, whack them in the third quarter. 19 past 7, back with more Isaac Smith after this.
Exclusive access, behind closed doors, The Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
22 past 7 on the Prosper Inner Sanctum on the Breakfast Club. Isaac Smith from the Hawks was good enough to join us this morning and to discuss the weekend that was for the Hawthorn Football Club and where you were placed. You mentioned before you were 6'5 coming in, you're now 7'5. Isaac sitting just outside the 8. Are you playing well? So overall, the season, are you playing well?
Oh, if we're playing well, I think we'd probably be a little bit higher up the latter half. I think we've got the potential to play really good football in patches at the moment. And I guess the really good teams do it consistently. And they probably do it for 3 quarters a game or 4 quarters a game at the moment. We're putting 1 or 2 together, which sometimes is enough to win and sometimes it's not. So if we can start to bridge that gap with consistency, I think we can be a pretty damaging team.
So how do you then, can you train that? How does Alistair Clarkson tackle that issue?
Oh, I think it's a bit of training. I also think it's probably a little bit of confidence and synergy and... we've turned over a few and the team's changed a fair bit in the last 2 or 3 years. So we've probably got 7, 8, 9 guys that are under 40, 50 games that are playing really good football, but it's just getting the connection with the other 11 or 12 that are playing.
So when you're thinking about when you're playing well, do you reference it back to your premiership years and say that it feels like that, or is the team changed so much now that you have to have a different reference to sort of marry up what you see as good football?
Yeah, I think you have to have a different reference, Whitey, but mind you, that third quarter on the weekend felt like a couple of the quarters that we pulled together in that 13, 14, 15 period. So it's nice for the players that had been there and understand that and know that feeling, but talking to the boys on the weekend after coming off the game and talking about the third quarter, they were just like, wow, that's probably the best quarter of football we've played in the last two or three years.
So how much does that give you confidence, and how much does it give the team confidence that that's in you? Because what Half's alluding to, that we haven't seen a lot of it in the first half of the year, but you've still got a chance to play finals. Does that go, right, that's the switch?
Yeah, I think it's huge, confidence-wise. And the funny thing is, we've lost some games where really they're probably a 50-50 flip of the coin as well. So we could have been sort of 7, 8, 9 wins going into the bye, and we've probably shot ourselves in the foot a little bit, not discrediting the teams that beat us. But there were certainly 50-50 games. But to gain that confidence out of that game on the weekend, and hopefully it transfers into this week, you're never sure. Gold Coast were up by 40 points against St Kilda at three-quarter time. So you're never quite sure what the opposition are going to bring, but to get that inner belief, especially out of a game on the weekend, was quite pleasing.
And you got Gold Coast this week down in Tassie?
Down in Lonnie. Hopefully it's freezing cold, sideways wind, a bit of sleet coming in.
Ideal conditions for the Hawks.
Inhospitable for the Gold Coast boys.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yes, nice work. Do you talk about, in the lead of the games like this and what's happened to them last week, that the fragility and perhaps mentally that you might be able to attack? Because obviously 30 points up, last quarter, you should win that game. They lose that game in a heartbreaker. Does that part of the discussion, the preparation for these guys?
Oh, no, not necessarily. We've only done a quick oppo meeting yesterday, and the discussions will happen more tomorrow and Friday. But I think it's just crazy at the moment, and I don't know if you feel the same, but the AFL, literally, if you rock up and you're 5 or 10% off, you lose. And if you rock up and you're the team that's on, you win. It's even we rocked up to Brisbane. And we didn't rock up and they pantsed us. They beat us by 30-odd points. So there's not much in it this year, which is it's probably good for the fans and good for the competition, but it's not good when you're rocking up as a player sometimes.
Well, we've talked about the fact that your good players got to be out there, otherwise you're vulnerable. But you're right, if you're just off with your energy, your intensity or your concentration, it's very, very easy for a game to turn on its head, even within game, not just at the start to finish, but even a five-minute period within game.
Yeah, well, you're seeing massive momentum swings at the moment within the game, which is good because a team's not out of it if they're 4 or 5 goals down. But, teams can score really quickly, but then we're also seeing probably massive patches in the games where both teams aren't scoring. Mm.
You mentioned Brisbane, and I've been dying to ask you about this, about because Brisbane and Hawthorn have had the trials with these new rules and all this sort of thing. Now, you had it the week before. Take us through what happened and what you thought of it.
We just trained at Etihad. And I think you have to ask the AFL. But we just had a bit of a train around and they threw a couple of different things at us while we were down at Etihad having a train. And I think the AFL are probably trialling 7 or 8 things at the moment, and I'm not sure if they're going to bring any of it in or if they're going to bring all of them in, but I think they're just having a look at the game, and I'm guessing their purpose is they want the best product out there.
Good forward defence there.
Bang. Nothing getting through there.
But you can talk about it, because Dane Zorko spoke about it last night publicly and said that, look, we did it yesterday and we really enjoyed it. They actually talked about it was enjoyable to play, which is not something you usually hear from a footballer. Admittedly, it was training.
Yeah.
Were there things that you did or you were asked to go, hey, this is actually not too bad, or was it all very confusing?
Well, I won't tell you anything that we did, but I will tell you, after Dane said it was enjoyable, it's the first time in my AFL career that I've actually had a lot of time and space to run with the ball.
Well, there you go.
You would love that. Well,
which is very nice, because I'm thinking I can get to about 37, 38 now. And,
well, if the big one things are going to go by, you can. Well, that's good for
okay, so did that, games. So did that surprise you? That so you go out there, they say, right, we want you to do this, we want you to do this, and I'm sure if you're going, oh, yeah, here we go. But when it actually played out, you go, hang on a sec, this is surprised me.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you imagine if you think about that response from Isaac, and then take yourself back to the 80s and 90s and the traditional wingman, he'd have a field day. He would have a field day back then.
Isaac's barracking for no interchange.
Yeah, I reckon it'd be great. Yep. You know the one thing, talking, and I don't really have any influence on this, but the one thing that I would love to see in the game is a full forward just coming out of the square at 100 miles an hour with a fullback on him, and they're going one-on-one. I reckon that's the one thing I miss in the game.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are in that boat, but they would love to see that come back.
Yeah.
Just about every team had a gunful forward, didn't they, in the 80s?
Yeah, most did, yeah.
Blokes kicking over 100, but I reckon most teams would have had a goal kicker that kicked 70-plus.
Yep.
And I think the last one is probably Fev, to genuinely just come out of the square and just be duking them.
All right, can we? Yeah. I want to play something. This is Dane Zorko on Fox Footy last night, because he was asked about his views on the rules that they trialled. And I think everyone was sort of caught out a little bit about how open he was about how good it was. This is Dane Zorko on Fox Footy.
It was interesting. Personally, I thought the rules were really good. I enjoyed playing in that style of game. It was a lot more open, certainly around stoppages, which me personally really enjoyed being able to get clear. But overall, yeah, I thought it was actually really good. We trialled the everyone starts in their own quadrant sort of thing. That was really good. At stoppage, we trialled the key forwards or the key backs in the square, and it just opened the game up. I certainly thought that the players in their inside 50 was certainly a valuable one for the way that we certainly wanted to play. And I think, I'm not sure how Hawthorn went with it, but I think they would have enjoyed it as well. It was free, it was open. There was still the impact there, the congestion was still there at times, but I certainly thought it was a lot more open, a lot more enjoyable to play, and it probably allowed a little bit more extra time for blokes to hit that target.
Well, Zorks hasn't been bound by confidentiality.
Unless he gets a call today. So he's just told us everything.
So perhaps the conversation
he's hitting sixes,
you guys had.
He's hitting sixes left, right and centre, and I'm on my front foot still.
Well, the good news is it's positive. So I don't think they'd probably mind the AFL for getting that sort of feedback from players after those trials.
No, not at all.
If it was negative, they'd probably come back and say, hang on a second, we told you not to say anything. But goodness gracious me, it sounds like they had a good time up there at Brisbane. It sounds like you had a good time.
Well, it's two
when
clubs.
You practice.
That's two clubs now that have had it, and they've both had positive experiences from it. So
maybe there is something into all this.
Well, I've told you, there's going to be change.
It's just a matter of what.
It's just a matter of what and how much and how dramatic. But that's significant that two clubs have done it. Both said, "Yep, that's worked pretty well."
Right. Very good.
Maybe Carlton could do an intra-club, get a win.
Make him feel good.
Get
about
a win.
Hey, 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 you be nice to the Mighty Blues. You be nice.
Now, I was talking about the man. Does that help?
No, it doesn't. You be nice.
Now, can I ask a serious question, please?
Yeah.
Cyril, what can you tell us? I mean, I think we're all a bit sort of rattled by the fact that we thought he was going to be playing last week, maybe even at the very least this week.
Yeah.
Do you know anything? Can you share anything with us?
I can't shed much light on it other than he wants some space and he's gone back to Darwin and I think they've got some personal issues or something going on, so I can't really shed much light on it, and it's obviously something pretty close to their heart, and he's wanted space, so I think the club are doing everything they can to help them out, but that's up to them and the club to sort out. But in saying that, you'd love to have him running around.
So is there a timeline on it? I mean, because there has been suggestions that that's it, that he might not play again, or there's other thinking that they hope to be back in 2 weeks. Is there any sort of understanding?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Literally, we're probably in the dark as much as you guys are. So that's probably questions for other people other than me. But, personally, as a teammate, I love playing with him and would love to have him back.
He'd be handy, no doubt about that, but he's got those things he needs to sort out personally, and that's certainly a priority for him and his family. So good luck to Cyril and whatever's happening with his world, but good luck to you guys on the weekend down at Tasmania, University of Tasmania Stadium in Launceston against the Gold Coast Suns. Hopefully another win for the mighty brown and gold, and a bit of space for you to run in.
Let's hope so, huh?
Smithy, Dane's a little bit of blocking, but overall pretty entertaining.
Oh, thanks, Flint. Yeah, do I get a gig on the new episode?
No. Or Channel 7, keep away.
Dane Zorko's just rung, wants to have a chat to Isaac. Critical of this sort of forward defensive.
They played a few shots, got one through cover for 4 foot, one off the legs. He's batting pretty well. We need to get the break, 26-8 on the Breakfast Club. Still plenty more coming up. Join us, 1300 652 927 or 0416 90 50 52 on RSN 927.